Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful for you, and we are so thankful for your love for us, and we pray, Lord, that now by your word and by your spirit, you would transform us by the renewing of our minds to make us more like Jesus, for it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, it is the day before Thanksgiving, and I don't know what that looks like for you this year. I know that for our family, it is a Thanksgiving unlike any we have ever seen. And there's some sadness to that. There's some grief to the loss of the normalcy that we would normally have. But there's also opportunity for us to look at this holiday with fresh eyes and to say, Lord, we are so thankful for all the ways in which you blessed us. You know, we have an opportunity to look around either for the things that are different and sad or to look around for the things for which we can be thankful. And there is so much to be thankful for. Well, this past Sunday, as we looked at the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, we saw that in his final chapter, he kind of gave them a litany of parental wisdom. He was trying to tell them, this is what it means to trust and follow Jesus. And I want to make sure you get this right. And one of the things that he talked about was how they could stay in the center of God's will. Sometimes we think about God's will and how mysterious it can be. Many years ago, Andy Stanley, who is the pastor of North Point Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, put out a study entitled Discovering God's Will. And it was really helpful because he kind of distilled from Scripture that there are three types of God's will in the Bible. The first type of God's will that he discussed was God's providential will. This is God doing what God's going to do, when God's going to do it, because he is God and he can do whatever he wants. And so things like the providential will of God would include things like the timing of Jesus's birth as we prepare to head into Advent. The Bible says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. Well, who determined when the fullness of time had come? God himself. And when is Jesus going to return? Well, Jesus said that the Father would tell him, and God will make that decision because he is God and he can do whatever he wants. That is the providential will of God. The second type of God's will that Andy Stanley showed from Scripture was the moral will of God. These are questions that we don't ever have to ask God. There are prayers that we don't ever have to pray. Like, Lord, should I cheat on my wife? Well, I don't have to pray that prayer. God's already answered the question. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So I don't even have to ask. I already know the answer. Or Lord, should I go get vengeance and revenge against this person who wronged me? Well, I don't have to pray that prayer because God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You focus on doing good to everyone. So I don't ever have to pray that prayer. God, should I cheat on my taxes? Well, Jesus answered that. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's. There are several examples of commands that God has given. If you go back and look in the Old Testament, I mean, there are 613 commands that God gave. And those are prayers we just don't even have to pray. Lord, should I go murder somebody? Nope. I don't have to ask that question. I don't have to pray that prayer. He's already answered it in his moral law. And that reveals his moral will. So Andy Stanley said there's the providential will of God, the things that God's going to do no matter what because he's God, and he'll decide when he wants to do those because he's God and that's his prerogative. Then there's the moral will of God where he has communicated to us what are we supposed to do and how are we supposed to live. And these are questions we don't even have to ask him because he's already answered. Well, the third type is the type that we tend to be the most interested in, and that is the personal will of God for our lives. And Andy Stanley makes this contention. When we are more submitted to the providential will of God, saying, God, you're God, and you choose to do great things when you choose to do them, we submit to your will. And if we are more surrendered to the moral will of God, aligning our lives with what God has already revealed, well, then we will be in the best position possible to discern the personal will of God for our lives. And so in that spirit, I want to give you this theme tonight. Embracing God's revealed will for your life will help you discover God's specific will for your life. And tonight, I want to drill down on three verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18, and we are going to see here part of the revealed will of God for your life as you trust and follow Jesus. So look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read all three verses, and then we will walk through them. The Apostle Paul writes, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let me read it one more time. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So three things that are pretty straightforward, but I want us to look at these three things. First, God's will is that you rejoice always. God's will is that you rejoice always. One of the most looked up and searched for verses in the whole Bible comes from Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read to you Philippians 4, 4 through 7. You know this passage. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This idea of rejoicing was a theme that Paul carried all the way through the letter to the church at Philippi. Remember, Paul is writing this letter while he's imprisoned in Rome, under house arrest, and chained 18 inches away from a member of the Roman Imperial Guard. He is not in plush surroundings and great circumstances when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." In Philippians 1:18, he says, "Yes, and I will rejoice." In Philippians 2:17 and 18, he said, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." And then Philippians 3:1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." He returns to this theme of rejoicing in the Lord over and over. And then in chapter 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Again, I will say rejoice." That word in the Greek is kairo. In today's pronunciation, it would be chero, but it is written kairo in the Koine Greek in which Paul would have written it. And it is a cognate of kara, which means joy, and charis, which means grace. So the words share the same root and therefore the same fundamental meaning. So properly, to rejoice is to delight in God's grace. To rejoice is to delight in God's grace. Literally, it means to experience God's grace and to be conscious and glad for His grace. So the call to rejoice is the call in every circumstance to look for God's grace in the situation and then to look to God's grace in the situation. So when Paul says rejoice always, he's not saying your circumstances are always going to be great. His circumstances weren't great as he wrote this. What he was saying, though, is that no matter what your circumstances are, you should look for the grace of God in the moment. And can I tell you something? I've walked through some pretty dark moments. I've walked through dark moments with other people, and I've walked through dark moments in my own life. And can I tell you that if you will pause and look for the grace of God in your moment, you will find it. God will reveal Himself to you in ways that will catch you off guard and will surprise you. But God is there in the midst of your joys and in the midst of your sorrows, and He is giving His grace. And so often we don't look for it. But if you'll pause, no matter what your circumstance is, and look for the grace of God, you'll find it. And then once you find it, once you see God's hand revealed, then you look to it. You look to the grace of God. And you say, God, I'm hurting, or God, I'm really happy, but I need your grace in this moment. I thank you for the ways in which you're revealing yourself to me. And I pray that you would help me to stand in and function according to the grace that you're giving me right now. That's what it means to rejoice. I look for God's grace, then I look to God's grace. And I do that when? Always. And so in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul says, rejoice always. Yet again, this same call. And always means always. That's not always the easiest thing to do, but that is the command of God, that we would rejoice always. If you are rejoicing in your moment, looking for the grace of God in your moment and looking to the grace of God in your moment, you are in God's will in the moment, no matter what it may be. Well, the second thing that he says, in addition to rejoicing always, is verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So tonight's second point is this. God's will is that you pray without ceasing. Now, for years I thought this was hyperbole. How could anybody pray without ceasing? How would you ever get anything done? If you're always on your knees with your hands folded and your head bowed and your eyes closed, how would you ever get anything done? Paul didn't do that. Paul was on journeys and ministering to people and ministering to churches. Jesus was on journeys and ministering to people and doing great and miraculous things. So how do we pray without ceasing? And I'll tell you, I had this amazing epiphany when Bluetooth devices for your phone came out. You remember when they first came out? It was so crazy to be walking down the aisle of a store and to see somebody with what looked like some sort of animal or some sort of Star Trek thing sticking to their ear, and they're just talking. And they're talking to nobody. And you might have thought they were talking to you. But they were just having a conversation. And now we're used to it. Now when we drive by and we see somebody talking in their car, we know that they've got a Bluetooth device. And even though there's nobody else in the car, they're carrying on a telephone conversation. And they're doing so safely because they're doing so hands-free. Well, that's sort of the idea that I think Paul is getting at here. From a different generation, and I grew up in this generation where we had a phone in the kitchen on the wall, and it had a long cord to it. And I can remember having that phone on my ear, and I saw my mother do this 1,000 times, where she would have it pressed up against her ear, and she would be cooking, or she would be sewing, or she would be doing something to keep the house going. And she was carrying on the conversation while she was going about her work. When you wear a Bluetooth device and you're on the phone, you're carrying on the conversation as you're going on about your work. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? It means carry on the conversation as you go about your work. In other words, never hang up. Always be in communication with God. You know, one of the greatest privileges that we have is the privilege of prayer and the privilege of taking anything to God, the privilege of taking everything to God. And so as you look for God's grace and then look to God's grace, have a little talk with Jesus and do it all the time. Pray without ceasing, recognizing that the Lord is with me and never far from me, and that he is willing to receive my cries and prayers and thoughts and anxieties, always provides a solution for my tendency to worry. I can actively combat anxiety by action, the action of approaching God honestly and boldly in prayer. 1 Peter 5:7, God says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares for you, and he welcomes that. So you don't have to bear it on your own. And even if it seems small and insignificant, take it to the Lord. Practice what John Eldridge calls benevolent detachment, and that is to say, Lord, I give everything to you, and I give everyone to you. I do that with my family. I got a wife and 2 great kids that I love dearly, and I can't fix all their problems. I've tried. It's maddening. They can't fix all mine either. When we carry one another to the Lord and say, I give them to you. I give their struggle to you. I give their circumstance to you. I give them to you, Lord, and I trust you to work in mighty and unexpected ways in their lives. He does. It's unbelievable what God does. And so we pray. And how do we pray? We pray without ceasing. And when we pray without ceasing, we are squarely in the middle of God's will for our lives. And then the last thing he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. The third point on this night before Thanksgiving is God's will is that you give thanks in all circumstances. I want to encourage you, and as I encourage myself to do the same thing, to cultivate in your life the discipline of looking for things to be thankful for in your moment, and then actively thanking God for those things. If you've ever been through any type of suffering or waiting in your life, you know that the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. And in my life, that's always when Satan seemed to attack the most, that I would wake up and all of a sudden I'd be bombarded with all these negative thoughts, all these accusing thoughts, all these thoughts that, oh, it's never going to get better and God's not going to come through. Well, those are lies from the enemy. And one of the things that I found in my life is that if I'll begin my day as soon as I open my eyes by thanking God for the ways in which he's blessed me already, as soon as I open my eyes and as I get out of bed and as I walk around and as I make my first cup of coffee and I look out the window and I prepare for my day, if I will thank God for the things that he has blessed me with in my life, that reframes my whole day, and quite frankly, it shuts the devil up. It doesn't allow him to lie. It doesn't allow him to seek to accuse or to captivate my thoughts and take them in a direction they ought not to go. No, if you will cultivate the discipline of finding the things in your life to be thankful for and then actively thanking God for those things, you will find that it is absolutely transformative and life-changing. So cultivate this discipline. Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote a song that is popular around this time of year, and it goes like this. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your Lord on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. So count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. On this night before Thanksgiving, the strangest Thanksgiving that many of us will ever have had, we have much to be thankful for, and we have many blessings to count. And so you may feel in this moment that you, upon life's billows, are tempest-tossed. And indeed, we all are to some degree. The tempests of COVID-19, the tempests of all the various raging storms around us, man, they've been tough this year. But you know what else is true about this year? God's been faithful. God's been faithful, and he's faithful still. So maybe in the midst of the storms, we should pause and say, Lord, we're going to look for your grace in every situation, and we're going to look to your grace in every situation. We're going to talk to you about it constantly, and we're going to give thanks to you, for you have been faithful. and you will be faithful still. I pray that's the spirit of your thanksgiving this year, no matter what it looks like. Look for the grace of God. Look to the grace of God. Keep the lines of communication with the Almighty open and give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and we indeed are thankful. You have given us much, and Lord, you have blessed us in ways we didn't even know to ask for. You have been faithful, and you will be faithful still in days to come. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be the kind of people who have that gentle strength, that calmness and stillness that you give by your Spirit to know that all things will come together as they should, and you will work all things together for good to those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. We have so much to be thankful for, and tonight we say thank you. And Lord, before we close our time together and before we prepare for Thanksgiving, once again, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices together to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us. From all of us at First Baptist Church, happy Thanksgiving. And we are so thankful for you. God bless you.